This is a good day. This is a good day. I've got Richard Prater a little closer than I'm comfortable with having him, but I'm going to figure it out. He about gave me a hearty pat on the way up here. It scared me for a minute. So we have 291 with us this morning, and I just mentioned that. We're not about numbers. This isn't about numbers, but every number represents one soul, and every soul does matter. And so every one of you that's here, thank you for being here today with us. We're going to start with a memory verse from our family devotionals, and we have these available in the foyer in a paper format and on our website. They're easy to find. And our memory verse this month is Acts 4:12, which says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28 this morning. I don't know if you've heard, but next Monday we're supposed to have a solar eclipse. And I'm kind of excited about that. When we had the last one, I didn't have any good glasses at the time, but we did the old, you know, back in the 80s, our teachers taught us the old pinhole in the paper trick, and you can see that the sun is not a circle dot on a paper. Anyway, it was kind of neat, but I've got some glasses this year. I'm ready, as long as it's not cloudy. I don't know if you've seen headlines, but there are towns in the path of totality that are worried about how that's going to go, because they're not sure how people are going to react. And they will have people driving from distances and flooding these areas to see this rare event. And they're not sure, especially in the path of totality, when it gets quite dark compared to full sunlight, how people are going to act. People react differently to events, big events. And this morning we're going to look, I want you to be thinking about how people reacted to the resurrection, because they did not all react the same. So we start with, before we get to this, let me just set the stage real quick. So Jesus has been crucified. He's been placed in the tomb. The Jewish leaders, by the way, they requested from Pilate that they could have guards at the tomb. And so the tomb is said to have been sealed, which would have been some type of clay material, and a seal, which designated Roman authority, do not break this. And they would have had guards, most likely Roman soldiers, at the tomb because they were afraid Jesus' disciples might steal his body and say that he rose from the dead. Now remember that, because we'll get to that in just a minute. So Matthew 28 verse 1, the women, they come to the tomb. It says, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And at that time, around that time, there's this earthquake that God causes. And an angel comes, and the angel rolls the tomb, the stone back, and sits on the stone. And the guards are afraid. And Scripture says they become like dead men. Have you ever seen the videos of the fainting goats? If you ever need to be cheered up and you're kind of down in the dumps, look up videos on fainting goats. It evidently was something like that. They become like dead men. Then the women come, and the angel says to the women, "I know who you're looking for. It's Jesus. He's not here. He has risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I've told you." And so the women, they've been told by the angel. Now, how did they react? They haven't seen Jesus yet, but how did they react? They departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. The women were the first to witness the empty tomb. And the women were the first to witness the risen Jesus. And that, I believe, was Jesus, especially him appearing to them first, was a blessing and an honor to them. And they reacted correctly. They worshiped. That's what you do. They worship. They were quick to believe even before they saw him. And then when they saw him, they worship. So Jesus tells them, don't be afraid. Go tell the brothers to go to Galilee and they will see me there. Well, Mark, I want to look at Mark's gospel a little bit. And in Mark chapter 16, it records that Mary Magdalene, in verse 10, she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. So when the apostles hear that he's risen, they won't believe it. And then look at this. And this is the women telling them. Well, verses 12 and 13 say, after these things, he appeared in another form to two of them. And another gospel records two disciples, not apostles, I don't believe, but two disciples. He appeared to them. They saw him. They told the rest. They wouldn't believe them either. Would not believe them. Meanwhile, go back to Matthew 28 as we're reading there. Meanwhile, while they were going, this is the women, while the women were going to tell the apostles, so we're stepping back just a minute, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. So in this moment, you have people from the tomb, and they're going two different places. The women are excited, they're joyful, and they're going to tell the apostles. The guards, they're not joyful. The guards have a problem. The body's gone. He's gone. And they go to tell the Jewish authorities. And so you have two groups that are excited with this news. One is good news. One is terrible news. One is joy. The other is panic. When I was a teenager, I would have not, you know, everyone has nightmares. And one of my reoccurring nightmares as a teenager was that it was Judgment Day. And I didn't feel like I was ready. And when I say ready, in that stage of my life, I had a very high awareness of sin and guilt. And I did not yet understand God's forgiveness. Not in a way that I felt ready for Judgment Day. Okay? And I would have these dreams, and in my dream, it's Judgment Day. That's it. That's the whole nightmare of it. It wasn't elaborate. It's just, it's done. It's the day. You're about to find out, are you going to heaven or hell? And for me, that was a panic. What will Judgment Day be like for you? If you leave here and somehow die today in a terrible car accident, or if Jesus comes back today, what will it be like to you? Will it be good news or bad news? So let's read on. Verse 12 says, when they had assembled with the elders, so these are the guards from the tomb, they go to the Jewish leaders. When they assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money. Now, they've talked for a while at this point before they give this money, and they have come up with a plan. Listen to their plan. They tell the guards, tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed, and this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. This is amazing, and how ironic, this is why they had the guards to begin with. They did not want this story spread, and they will be the ones to actually spread the rumor. Secondly, if they were asleep, how did they know that Jesus' body was taken? I'd like to hear that conversation. Well, we were just sleeping, and they took it. Well, how do you know they took it? Well, I was starting to wake up, and I kind of saw them taking them. Did you not chase after them? Well, they got away. Were they not dragging a dead body? I don't know how all that went, but that was what they did. And my question is, the guards knew he rose. The guards knew he rose. The Jewish authorities knew he rose because they had the true story and they paid them to tell this lie. Why didn't they turn to Jesus? Why didn't they repent? When I was young, and the point is, sometimes people will not believe. They will refuse to believe. You ever You ever had someone refuse to believe something that you knew was true? Maybe a kid was lying to you. You knew they were lying. They knew they were lying. Everybody in the room knew they were lying. But they would not tell the truth. When I was young, I did not believe that dreams had any connection to reality. In other words, that I thought your dreams are just your mind without someone in charge, and it's just turned loose and it does what it does. You know what I mean? Like spinning a top and it just going to go where it goes. And I did not think that dreams had any significance of what's going on in our life or our worries or things like that. And yet, I've had a recurring, do you ever have recurring nightmares? Because I now believe they do. That does say something about what's going on with you. But one of my recurring nightmares as a kid was, I'm at my school locker and I cannot remember the combination. Ever had that dream? Am I the only one? I cannot remember the combination. To this day, I can't remember it. Not in my dream. I could do it in real life. Anyway, as a preacher, one of my nightmares, reoccurring nightmares to this day, I still have this one, is that it's time to preach, and I don't have my pants on. Now, some of these nightmares have gotten better. It's like I can't find my notes. You know, that's better. Or I can't find my Bible. I don't have my Bible, don't have my notes. I have not planned to preach, but it's time, it's go time. But the worst ones are I don't have pants on. And anyway, I've never told anyone this, this next part, but there was one day across the street after class, I go to the restroom and I have a zipper malfunction. And it will not. It's down, it won't go up, okay, the zipper. And so, but I'm over there. I don't have time to go home and change pants. I'm sharing this with you just out of your courtesy. And I don't have time to go home and change pants, and I have to preach, and I have to do something. So I get my loving wife, and we get some safety pins, and we go to my office and lock the door, and I've got to get ready somehow. And anyway, that was not as easy as you might think. And fun fact, she thought it was funny, and I did not. Think it was funny at all. But I refused when I was young to believe something that I've later come to realize is true. Sometimes we don't believe something because we're stubborn. We're stubborn. And this lesson today, I want you to be thinking about your reaction to the resurrection. Your reaction. So Matthew 28, reading on verse 16, says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to where Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. That's excellent. But some doubted. Some doubted. And in Mark's account, on a similar occasion, he goes to a house, but it says, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. This is probably referring to Thomas and others. But some of the 11 did not believe the women. And they didn't believe the two disciples. And they should have. And Jesus rebuked them. But let me ask you, did he reject them? Did he reject them? Did he say, you're out? You can't do it. You're not worthy to be my apostles now. Is that what he did? Did you know there's no scripture showing God rejecting someone who genuinely wants to come and be forgiven? Not a single scripture of God saying, nope, you've done too much wrong. Nope, you're not worthy. And oftentimes, we struggle. I want to say to anyone who's in this room who doesn't feel like you quite belong here that none of us are worthy to be here. We're only worthy because of Jesus. None of us are sinless. None of us are scarless of Satan's temptations and sin. None of us are guilt-free without Jesus. So, the apostles, their problem here is they didn't believe enough. They didn't trust enough. When I'm driving, and we went to LTC yesterday in Norman, I have to drive. when our family is traveling. And when we go on a long trip and I get tired enough, I will ask Stephanie to drive. But if Stephanie's driving and it's not picking on her, it could be really any, at my age now, I can't sleep if someone else is driving. I can't do it. When I was a kid, some of my best sleep was when my dad was driving. Do you remember that? I didn't get to lay up in the back window area like some of you old people, but that's some good sleep, isn't it? When your parents driving, and I mean you have full trust. I can't do that now. I don't have enough trust. And believing our walk with God, if we my question for you, do you just believe in God or do you trust God? Because if we trust God, we will surrender. We will have devotion. Are you on fire for God? And if you're not on fire for God, why not? Why not? It may be hardness of heart. And if we think, well, I'm not worthy, or I've done too much wrong, or those people won't love me if they know what I've done. Or we may think, I can't do that. I can't live that life. And the truth is, you cannot do it on your own. You can't do it without God. No one, think of a godly person. They're not doing it without God. They have to have God's help and strength, Jesus and the Spirit. Let's read on. So Jesus, here's where he gives in Matthew, we're down to verse 19, he gives this great commission to the apostles. He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Mark's account of this, exact same moment, Jesus says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Notice in Mark's account, you're either in or you're out. Either you believe and you're baptized, or you reject it and condemned. And we're talking about how people react to the resurrection. And you and I are still reacting to the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You and I are still reacting to it. Are we in or are we out? And Peter, for all his faults and failures, remember Jesus told him, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows, meaning that's inside of 24 hours. And he did deny him three times. But he was restored. And he preaches this first gospel sermon. And when he does it, look at his boldness. He's preaching to these Jews, the same ones who wanted Jesus crucified and did just days earlier. He preaches to them. Look at how he says it. He says, let all the house of Israel know for certain. That's not Jesus. Peter didn't just sneak up to him on this topic. He said, let everybody know, all of you. God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Peter was all in. And the people responded, many of them, they felt guilty. They said, what do we do? And Peter told them, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how they go in. That's how they get in. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And I want you to see, in Romans, we have a passage that tells us about baptism, what it means, why we do it. And it says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. And Jesus told the apostles, I want you to go preach the gospel. I want you to baptize people. Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. And when we do it, I want you to know, when you respond to the resurrection and the gospel by being baptized, you're reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection. You're dying. Look at the word, we're baptized into his death. You're dying. You're buried with him And just like Christ was raised, by the way, who raised Christ from the dead? By what power? God. By the glory of the Father is what it says. Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father. And when you're baptized, when you come up, it's that same power that changes you. Our problem is the devil tells us God can't change us. The devil tells us God can't use you. The devil tells us God can't forgive you. You've done too much wrong. There's too much wrong with you. But it's God's power. And if that power can raise Jesus from the dead, it can raise our souls to be saints. Amen. And that's what happens. But look at this last part. What are we raised to do? Walk in newness of life. And the newness of life is being all in. It's being all in for Christ. We're either in or we're out. And Jesus actually spoke to a third category, being lukewarm, and that's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. So if we are lukewarm, if we're somewhere in the middle, we're still out. Why? Because we're not all in. And doesn't that make sense? If you sent your son to die for sinful mankind and you paid that price, like Steve was talking about with communion, you paid that price and you have that much grace and mercy, wouldn't you want people to either be all in or out? And that's what God wants. And my question for you is, if you're not all in, what is holding you back? Is it hardness of heart? Is it the guilt from your past that you're not taking to the cross? Is it you don't think you can do it? Is it you don't think life will be worth living if you give up your vices? What is it? Is it you don't think God's people would accept you and love you and help you? Whatever it is, I want you to come to terms with it in this moment. We're going to sing a song that says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I challenge you to either sing it out because it's true, because you're all in, or I hope we choke on the words if we can't sing it. And if we can't sing it, what do we need? If we need to repent, let's repent. If someone needs to come and be baptized today, let's do it. We will baptize you. We would love nothing more if that's what you need. If someone needs to rededicate their life, rededicate it today. If you want to come and us pray about that, come. If you want to stay where you are and say to God, God, I haven't been all in, but I want to go all in, then pray that prayer to God and then sing. Whatever you need to do, let this song be where you choose to be in or out. And if you need our help, please come while we stand and sing.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. Place prepared for me.